fishy, fishy.
And welcome to Fishy. And we have Alex, we have Jeannie, we have Heather, and we have Dee. And today we're going to talk about shark fishing. Going out, maybe some big sharks, maybe some little sharks, but we're definitely going to get into the shark category of it. Here on Fishy Radio with your one chromosome off guy on the show. I don't know what happened, but I got lucky. It's like all these girls here, man. Now, this is the way I like to do a show. Most of the time, I'm just, you know, okay, I got guests, they're buddies, but this is awesome. All right. So, now, Jeannie, tell us about your last shark trip.
I caught a shark on Saturday out on Boca. I was out there just hunting, you know, hunting my normal redfish, snook, and had a shark come by and...
So you didn't actually go out to catch sharks?
I did not.
You just... All right. So what were you fishing? What were you... You know, hey, let's start. How did you get there?
I put in at Placida. I took my boat and put in at Placida and then ran around to over towards the golf course, Boca Golf Course, and was fishing the docks over there.
I like fishing those channel markers coming out of those, that golf course.
Yeah.
They got kind of a deep cut that goes out there.
I
love fishing right around the channel markers. Everybody goes up to the shore, they fish the mouth of the canal along the docks, but I'm kind of into those markers. I always check them.
I noticed that on Saturday. Now, Saturday was when I got out there, I think we were at a -0.2. So it was real, real skinny out there Saturday.
The only time that bothers me is trying to get off the ramp at Placida, because that's steep, and it's not bad getting the boat off, but trying to get back on there.
It is a steep ramp.
Mm-hmm. It's steep. I almost had a boat and truck almost go in. I got out. I was having such a problem getting back and forth. Forgot to put it in park.
Oh.
Luckily, the door is still open. Yikes. The vehicle started moving. I just jumped in, hit the brakes. Nobody ever noticed.
Yeah. Like, Placida's always good for some popcorn anyhow. So,
now, do you use the public ramp or you go to Eldred's?
No, I use the public ramp there.
Okay.
And it's always comical. It's definitely in or out. It's definitely comical. You got to turn your patience on when you're at Placida. No doubt about that.
So... Do you ever use that ramp over there at Placida?
I used it one time.
Used it one time.
That was it. That's all it took.
Uh-huh.
It was dangerous.
That once was enough.
Once was enough.
Okay.
So I heard they're putting in three more ramps?
I don't.
Or a couple more ramps there at Placida?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing. I know they've been remodeling out there, and what they need to do is buy like 10 more acres for parking. I know they got that extra lot on the other side of the canal. I think they're going to put like some ramps on that side of it, where they bought that parking area.
And it's not usually the ramps. In my experience, what it seems to be is the ramp seems to be okay. They need like a little footbridge to get to the other side of the parking lot. That's what takes so long.
Yeah, walking all the way around.
Right, so now you've left your boat there. You're walking all the way around, especially being a pay-to-park ramp. By the time you park your boat over there, come back, pay, and it's just, if they just put a little footbridge, I don't think they necessarily need another ramp. They just need a way to get to your truck.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that would be nice if they actually do put the ramp on the other side. And, you know, I don't understand why they charge us to park, because we literally pay for that stuff with our
property
boat.
Taxes.
Well, no, on your boat registration. Part of your boat registration goes to the Marine something group, which gives them money for boat ramps and boat maintenance and all that, or boat ramp maintenance. And only people who put in boats that actually already pay get charged to park.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to play tennis or pickleball or launch a kayak where you don't have to pay any registrations, you're not paying at all, then you don't have to pay to park. But
right.
If you already paying for the god darn thing, then they charge us again.
Right. Yep, it'd be nice to see them enforce the, you know, if you just got a small little Nissan Versa, you don't need to be in a boat trailer parking spot either. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Probably getting on my soapbox here, but anyhow, sharks.
Well, if you're out there and you're parking in a spot, that's supposed to have trailer parking,
yeah,
you're supposed to get a ticket.
Yeah, and they don't enforce that. They don't enforce it at all, and it's aggravating.
It's aggravating
to see. Wow.
You know, the cool thing about doing our own shows, we don't have to stay on that topic. We can get on any topic that interests us. Heather, have you been that ramp?
I have, but not recently. Recently, we keep our boat on the lift, so I don't have to deal with it.
I was going to say, what was that? Okay. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Now I got everybody figured out. So, anyway, so you went out just to do general fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when I go out, I kind of have in my head what I'm going to do before I go out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of plan out what you're doing?
I do. I'm always rigged to catch just, you know, what I'm going out to target, which is typically just my inshore species. But I think that's a lot of the fun of it, too, is I go out there to catch that, and then I end up bringing up things that I didn't expect to bring up. And I catch a shark, or I catch this, or I catch that. So every day I get to learn something new.
What was the plan you went out for that day?
Just my typical going out hunting redfish, hunting that tagged redfish that's the hunt I'm on, and that's what I'm going to be on until Labor Day. I am hunting that dang tagged redfish.
Me too.
Not Jeannie, wait
a minute. Okay. What's the deal here?
Well, it's the CCA Star Tournament. So, it opened Memorial Day, Saturday. That Memorial Day was open in morning. And to date, to the best of my knowledge, up until I looked yesterday, there still had not yet been a tagged redfish caught in the state by a registered Star Tournament angler.
Okay, so are you?
No.
No? No? Alex?
I am.
You are?
I am.
You are, and I could see you are. What are you? Where are you?
I am registered for the tournament.
Is there, you win something? I mean, what happens when you catch a tagged redfish?
Boats and trucks and all sorts of, there's a couple different boats they're giving away. There's a GMC they're giving away, a Carolina Skiff, a Hughes Redfisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
So how do you sign up?
CCAFlorida.org, I think, something like that. It's like a $40 entrance fee plus $35 to become, if you're not a CCA member. So it's total is $70 or $75. I can't remember, $75 to sign up. And again, it's 101 days of fishing. So it started Memorial Day and goes through Labor Day. And it doesn't have to be tagged. Any fish that you catch, you can log. It's not based on the largest fish or the most fish. It's actually a drawing. It's kind of a lottery system for the fish other than the tagged ones. So you just book. There's an app online, and if you catch a redfish, you upload it to that app, and now you're part of that lottery system. But yeah, they're giving away some really big ticket items. Yeah.
You pick up a measuring tape at West Marine that mm-hmm. you need to include in all the photos.
That's because I made them really mad when I told them to go screw themselves.
I was wondering, so you take a picture and you upload it to their website?
Yep, you take a picture. There's an app that you can just download to your telephone. You take a picture on the official measuring device, as they call it. And then you upload it through the app. You have 2 weeks to upload it, so you don't have to do it right then and there. However, if you catch the tagged one, that you do have to do right then and there. You call in to CCA, or you just call me, and I'll come. I'll come do it for you.
They do make you take a polygraph test at the end.
They do.
If you
yes,
are one of
yes.
the ones that caught a redfish.
Yep.
So they where do they let me release these fish? Are there
so
certain spots?
They've released four. They've released four per. Four per coastal county in the state of Florida, I believe it was. But Charlotte Harbor actually got double that, so we got eight here.
Whoa.
We got eight released redfish here.
What's the reason behind that? Because you're cool?
Well, we have
cool.
Lee County and Charlotte County all combined into Charlotte Harbor.
Yeah.
So if you were doing Charlotte Harbor and Lee County, you would... South end of Charlotte Harbor is Lee County. The north end is Charlotte County. So that would be eight in Charlotte Harbor, but it's actually four for Charlotte, four for Lee.
Two counties, gotcha.
They released them in Charlotte Harbor?
They did. Now, I don't think, to the best of my knowledge, they ever disclosed exactly where they released them. Now, I know they released our 2,000 redfish there in Ponce Park, but the tagged redfish...
I caught a tagged fish from that release.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Now, how did you... Those are all tagged?
Yep. 20 were tagged.
Okay.
20 larger ones, and I caught one that was 28 inches long.
That's exciting. Yeah. Did you take
it was
a picture?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I did. And 7 days after being released. So it was very interesting to see that he hung around exactly where they put him in.
Okay, and that was my next question, was where did you catch that? So you caught it, were you fishing on the...
Feet from where he was put in.
And how big did you say he was?
28 inches.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you catch him on, live bait?
A piece of mullet.
Really?
Frozen, yep.
Neat. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was cool. For a moment, everyone thought it was one of the tagged fish from Star.
Yeah.
And it wasn't during that period of time, but
okay.
You know, for a moment, I thought I was going to run a truck or a boat.
I would have freaked out.
Well, that's just interesting to hear. Now, did they? I guess I've always been curious, but did the fish look any
different
color, different anything, as opposed to what our normal, redfish look like?
That was my first redfish and my only redfish.
Oh.
So hopefully my second redfish will also be tagged.
Yeah, longer tag with CCA's phone number on it.
I did get to see some of the ones they released down in Lee County, and they seem to be a little redder. Darker red.
Yeah.
Seemed dark.
Okay.
Compared to the ones you catch in the sand or...
Okay. Now, I've always known our redfish to be very red and tannin stained. Mm-hmm. I had caught one a couple months ago where the tail was very, very clear, and it was blue.
Yeah.
And it was... The redfish was almost silver, and I was kind of wondering if maybe, perhaps, that was one of the ones that was released, or if it was just that time of the year where they're feeding on shrimp and
clear
that's
water.
That blue...
Clear
okay.
water.
Okay.
The dark brown copper colors of a redfish and all those that we're used to seeing are because of the brown tannic water.
It's
the same as putting your finger in a cup of tea, leave it in there for a week, you have a brown finger.
Sure.
And as they get out by the Gulf, Gasparilla Sound, Pine Island Sound, the water's crystal clear, the colors of the sand are lighter. It literally takes them to a whole different color scheme. You see blues on them, yellows, silver, whites.
Now, I was told that that blue color on their tail was, I don't want to say dictated, for lack of better words, by shrimp. So you could, if they eat shrimp, or you can tell how much shrimp they're eating, because the more shrimp they eat, the more blue their tail gets. Is there any truth to that?
Iodine in the shrimp will turn animals like flamingos or roseate spoonbills pink.
Yes.
But never blue.
I won't tell you who told me that then.
Yeah. Blue is not, that I'm aware of, a color that can be brought on by eating shrimp.
Okay.
But when they're in the Gulf, it does provide them more camouflage when they're in that clear water by breaking up their images.
Sure.
And it's like the dot on their tail is so predators may attack that, thinking it's their head.
Sure.
It looks like another eye.
Okay.
So that's what they assume the dot was originally for, is to help protect them from predators, where they would go after the tail instead of the head of the redfish. But I don't know of any point where shrimp would turn something blue. Who told you that? No, it's okay.
Tom Fisher.
Yeah, well, fish has a couple of personal habits.
Fish has some tall tales. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, I love the death. He's
heart,
a brother of mine.
Absolutely.
But he does get off the water and indulge a bit. So.
I think that rings right up next to our extra bone.
Yeah.
Right underneath there.
The shrimp blue and the extra bone.
That was great. Yeah. I heard that on Saturday, too. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, I couldn't resist doing it again.
But it was nice to hear Josh's take on that, too, because he's so...
knowledgeable.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And I actually was looking forward to that, because Josh there's hardly anything that boy doesn't know about species and this and that.
Definite brainiac.
Yes.
So, Heather, you been into redfish?
Not so much. I like sharks. I love this time of year when the sharks come around.
Okay.
Ooh, do tell.
Sharks. I haven't seen a shark.
No, redfish. Do you get into redfish?
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, I don't know. We're learning about you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like it's easy to read you.
No, the last redfish I caught was a few months back, but I did notice that the tail was, you're talking about the edge of the back tail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was yellow, like.
Okay.
Almost like a yellowish blue color, I guess.
Okay. Was the tail clear? Like, I put my hand on his tail. You could see my hand through his tail.
Yeah, it was clear.
Pretty,
right? Definitely clear, yeah. But
beautiful.
It was yellow, not so much blue.
Okay.
But, yeah, caught him in the sand.
Just looking for lights. Go ahead.
Caught him in the sand.
Okay.
Actually, on an oyster bar, right off of Oyster Bar.
Burnt store?
Actually, at the end of Matlachet Pass.
Okay.
There's a bar right there, and where it meets the harbor.
Yeah,
past meets the harbor.
Two Pines.
South of Two Pines.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just there's a bar. There's an oyster bar that runs north and south, almost all the way up to Burnt Store Marina.
Okay.
Was that on shrimp?
Of course, shrimp. Of course, we got plenty of those laying around. So yeah, we use shrimp, but I mean, I don't know if it was because it was early in the morning. Maybe I don't know. I don't really know how they feed or how they do that, but it was a fight.
Yeah.
It was probably, the water was probably only about 6 inches, I'd say. You could see his top of
his
fin.
Was he tailing?
Yeah, his fin was popped out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you could tell what he was.
Mm-hmm.
I just got up there as close as I could to him and took my 7'6" rod. Got up there as far as I could. And I actually landed on the sand, or on the oyster bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I really did it then.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I just one little snatch off there. Boom.
Bam, there
it was.
On. Nice.
It was on. Yeah, we got him.
So did he, like, come to you, or did he? I have a, I've noticed that they have a tendency to run sideways. So I'll get him and he'll
sideways.
Oh,
yeah.
Sideways.
He ran straight down the oyster bar.
Okay.
He knew what he was doing.
Knew where he was going.
He just knew what he was doing, but you got to keep him off there. Like I said, on 17-pound braid, I love it. It makes it look like you're landing a shark or a Moby Dick. I don't know. If you get him, you're like 24 inches. I can take that. That's a pretty good size. But, yep, that was my last encounter with a redfish.
When you do choose a shrimp to fish with, do you choose a specific size? I've always liked the big ones, but what would you recommend?
The big ones are good.
Yeah.
I always say people that really don't know much about fishing will use them big ones because that's a no fault. I mean, they're not going to back away from a big shrimp.
Do you pinch
but
the tail?
I usually, I do pinch the tail.
Pinch the tail off?
Of course,
for
some?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And it makes them... it makes them swim funny.
Funny,
like
yeah.
He's wounded, I guess.
Right.
They really like to call it, but yeah. I did. I like the medium-sized shrimp.
Okay.
The Slex, I guess they're called.
Choice,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like those the best. I don't like the big one.
And how do you hook your shrimp?
Through the back of the horn on the top.
Okay.
Circle hook,
yep. With redfish, yeah, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But I just usually cast them out and pull them. Because there's lots of catfish and other stuff that obviously you don't want to get it. But you just keep it on the top of the water, you know, as keep them away. Sometimes you got to snatch them away from the catfish, you know. I'm telling you. Hold on when he hits.
Moby Dick will come.
That's
get
right.
It.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. That's not on this show. That's next show. Okay, we're doing redfish on this one. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Still on pause?
No, we're not. We're ready to go. Yeah.
So, oyster bars are, they yield a lot of, once you get south of Burnt Store, yield a lot of redfish.
Between Burnt Store and Two Pines,
you
have a very defined outer sandbar, and then going back onto the sand flats, and historically very, very good fishing.
Yes, I catch a lot of fish over there. Where I was going with that is there is some sort of little footpath somewhere south
it's on
of
fish,
Burnt Store.
It's on fishandfranks.com. If you go to the maps of where to go fishing page,
okay. And
you go down to the waiting section, because it's off Cape Coral, and I forget the name of the road, but you can actually walk, you can park your car and walk over to that flat.
Okay, so that was my question to you, actually, Alex. What, have you ever thought about that or knew about that or explored that? Because that seems very, very interesting to me. I've never been there. I obviously fish those oyster bars by boat. But if I didn't have a boat to go do something like that, you can actually get out there and wade, you know, watching the oyster bars, of course, but you can get out there and wade for redfish. Is that something that seems...
That does seem interesting. I have a fear of being in the water, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Robert's sister. It's Robert's sister.
Robert's afraid of the water?
Robert won't go in maybe to his knees.
Yeah, that's me.
No, I mean...
Really?
And even then, it's anxiety.
Yeah, if he gets in over his knees, he's having a panic attack.
Okay, I had no idea. I never would have expected that about Robert.
Oh, yeah. Wuss. Oh,
really?
My God. Oh, yeah.
I'm with Alex. I'd rather be on the water.
You're a commercial shrimper.
I know.
You're a commercial fisherman and you're afraid of the water.
No, I'm not afraid of the water. I just know what comes out of the water.
I'm a shrimp boat,
literally.
Though. But
okay.
Shrimp boats are chum. That's
we're gonna get into that on another show here, but any other stories about redfish we got here, girls? Anything going on?
So I've seen some redfish with more than one spot. Is that uncommon, or is that kind
very
of...
Very common. We actually have spot tournaments to go out there and see who can catch the redfish with the most spots.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're pretty incredible. I caught one a couple months ago. Its spot was actually heart-shaped, which is pretty neat. So there's a couple different things that we have fun with redfish in their spots, but that would
be really fun.
Yeah.
And
mine's
they
got
can
eight.
Actually have no spots as well.
Yeah,
you can get a redfish with no spots. Yep. One spots or up to 50 plus.
Yeah. Yep. So of course having that spot is, you know, normal, but then you see either a bunch of spots. I was watching a video the other day. It had spots all the way up and down both sides of them. Just little things to have fun with redfish, but
yeah. The one redfish I caught, 17 spots.
Wow. That
yeah.
sounds like a winner.
I thought it had disease.
Wow.
It was awesome. It's something to see.
Now, Alex, when you were catching the redfish that you caught, were you using a sinker, a bobber, a free line?
1.5 ounce. I was fishing on the bottom. I was fishing for snook in Ponce Inlet. And with that, about 2-inch chunk of mullet.
All right, now
belly section.
You have actually before mentioned that people move their bait too much.
I find that the guys that I fish with get a little
antsy
when they get a little tap on their pole. they're real quick to
guys get a genie, you're bad. Guys get a little tap and they get a little excited.
They prematurely bring it in.
Gotcha. Okay. And
the fish that's interested in the bait that did that original tap is still hanging around and is debating to himself whether or not he's going to take the bait. But when you reel it in, you're taking it away from him and not giving him that chance. Just
right.
just
well,
wait around.
On that
take
note.
Take your time, please, gentlemen.
More taps, okay. More taps.
All right, and guys, you're going to learn just to ease up, shut up, and fish, and don't come back prematurely. So for Alex, Jeannie, Heather, and the lovely and talented Dee, and this is Fish and Frank, your temporary host. So we will catch you on the next Fishy Radio.
Fisher, Fisher.
Fishy, fishy.